Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. This is Mark Lawson, and I would like to welcome you back to our nightly Thursday night show that we do every Thursday. We've added a number of different shows to the lineup during the week, and we have some shows that run nightly. We have some shows that run once a month, and if you want to find out more about this show and other shows that we have on Spiritual Connections Radio, you can go to our website, which is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. So with that, I'm going to introduce my co-host, Pam. Pam, are you there?
I am. Good evening. Happy Thursday night to everyone.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. And, you know, why don't you talk about your show for a second on Monday nights? Tell everybody more about when they can get you weekly.
Well, thanks. Monday nights, I do a show at 8 o'clock called Secrets of the Soul, and we discuss different aspects of our own humanity and our own spirituality and how they interact. You know, the concept is to explore the relationship between how we think and feel and what we experience. And there is a lot of instruction about opening yourself up and being a medium, and how and why life is composed and reacts to our attention the way it does. So there's some quantum physics involved, and it's really, really a fascinating show, which brings me to our guest tonight, because this woman, I was just telling her name is Francine Clausen, and I was just saying how aligned our bios seem to be. She's really an interesting woman. And everything I just said about mediumship and opening yourself up, she's got some amazing stories to tell us. Her name is Francine Clausen. She is a medium and a healer since birth. And I won't go into her story. I'll let her talk to us about it. Francine, are you there?
I am here. Thank you, Pam. Thank you for welcoming me, and thank you, Mark. I'm so honored to be here today.
It's a great honor to have you on. I know for a lot of people who don't know the story behind this, I've been actively, you know, tracking her down and talking to her about doing a radio show for probably about 6 months now. And her schedule is just so packed and busy, and you know, when she's not working and stuff, we'll hear all the different stories about what she does. And when she's not working with different groups and, you know, stuff like that, she's teaching. And, you know, and for, you know, for that, you know, I think you have, is it a 2-year waiting list now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the class.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love what I do. Can you tell? You honor me, Mark, by having me. So thank you. I get started?
Sure. Why don't you start and tell us? Go ahead, Pam.
I was just going to say, why don't you tell us about yourself, how you got involved with this work, and maybe how it all started for you.
Okay, I would love to. At age 7, I just remember that It was a really rainy day, and I couldn't go outside. It was just one of those days where the torrential rain was coming, and so I was indoors in a little playroom playing, and I just remember seeing this bright light in the corner and thinking, if that's the sun, I can go out and play. But it wasn't. It was the Blessed Mother in the corner of this playroom in the most beautiful blue light. And I was taken back. Of course, I was frightened, but there was such a peace about her that I didn't want to run away. And she just kept saying, and she didn't use her lips to say it. She used, I could see it like telepathically or hear it. And she just kept saying, your life's work will be special. And at 7, you have no clue what that means. So I just remember thanking her, and she said to me, I'll be back when you need me. She did keep that promise, and I'll get to that later. But I remember running upstairs telling my mom, who definitely had great gifts as well. But, again, back then they weren't accepted, so you didn't talk about them like we do now. And she just said, it means your life will take on the life of a healer, a healing path, and to just always live in an authentic way. And I hope I have done that. So that was the first inkling. But right after that visitation was, I could predict things that a 7-year-old shouldn't. I knew when someone was very sick or near death, or I would even predict actual deaths. And so it was just between me and my parents. I remember her saying, it's not a secret, but it's a gift that we don't share with everyone. And then when I turned into my, I say, 19 or 20, it really wasn't normal, so I shut it all down. I was having none of that healing stuff until my mom got into her coma, and then I opened my gifts up so that I could tell the doctors what was bothering her. I would tell them things like her feeding tube is off, and they'd say, it couldn't possibly be. She's not running a fever, or it seems connected. But they'd check it, and it would be severely infected, or it would be toxic, and that's when I knew I needed to open my gifts again. My husband never knew I had any of his gifts until 15 years of marriage, and that's when I told him I'm quitting 3 jobs to do this work. He was on his 5th or 6th back surgery, so he had no clue why I was doing this, but spirit compels me. I didn't have a choice, and I've never looked backwards. Love it. Can't wait to get up in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so wonderful. can you tell us, like, you know, what it was like, you know, like, do you see this type of gift, like, in your mother and in your grandmother and your great-grandmother? Mm-hmm. Like, do you see it in the lineage?
I do. My mom had this gift because she would say things that were so ahead of her time. I don't know if my maternal grandmother had it or if she ignored it, but my great-grandmother on the maternal side definitely had the gifts. But back then they thought it was too woo-woo or too witchy, so they were so... But, you know, her and my mom, I could see that they would share the gift when I was little, but I didn't quite know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Until
now,
my visitation.
Now, do you have any brothers or sisters?
I did have a special needs brother who has passed away 5 years ago, and I believe he was all part of the plan, too. He was verbal, but they said he had the mentality of a 6-year-old, but that man taught me pure love. So he was part of the plan, too. But other than that, no, I don't have any more siblings.
Wow. Okay.
My daughter has a gift.
Oh, your daughter does have a gift.
Mm-hmm. And she's blocking the heck out of it. She wants nothing to do with it right now. She did teach intuitive classes with me, but now she's at a place where she doesn't want to use it for a while. She will again.
How old is she?
Erica's 34.
How old is she now?
She's 34 now.
Okay. Because what I found, I've got 5 children, and what I found is that you talk to them and they're aware of what's going on and they know that you're a healer and they come to you for healing and they talk to you about how things work and they come to your classes. And then suddenly they realize that it completely doesn't fit with the way the world believes it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to fit. So so they back up, or for whatever reason. There's other reasons as well.
That's where she is. She's feeling it doesn't fit right now. Though she used to teach intuitive classes with me, and the students loved her because she brings up the comedic part. She's funny. Go ahead, Pam. Sorry.
No, that's all right. I was just going to say that it always turns around and they come back to themselves. And I think they need that time.
I do, too. I think you need to see both sides of the coin, don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So are your kids gifted?
A few of them are. I have one daughter and four boys. And actually, I think they're all gifted in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Either they're emotionally sensitive, or they're psychic, or they have different abilities. All of us.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's what makes such a great world.
That's true. Well, so let's talk about you some more. You were saying that your husband had years of back pain and surgeries before he even found out that you had gifts as a healer. Was that a shock to him, first of all?
Yes. What happened was I kept having dreams, and during the night, spirit would compel me in my dreams to do this work.
Mm-hmm.
And I ignored them. One of the dreams was, if you don't do this work, we're going to make you very sick. And I woke up one morning with 103 temperature, and it just wouldn't go away. I went to doctors. My blood work was perfect. And so I wasn't ready to tell my husband yet that I needed to do this work. But when I couldn't get out of bed, I said to him, I have to tell you something. I don't know if I hit it really well or not, but I just told him I need to quit my jobs and I need to do this. Now, he had fallen and been injured really badly on the job site. He was in construction. And so they kept trying to fuse the disc together, but it didn't take. So by the fifth or sixth surgery, I remember he was recovering, and he's saying to me, well, what are we going to do for money? And I said, spirit just keeps telling me if we trust, it will be okay. And he did not believe me, trust me. So, and you may not believe this, I sent Archangel Michael to him. And I said, if you want me to do this work, you have to show yourself to my husband so that he'll believe. And one night he did see Archangel Michael. He said that the vision just lasted a couple of seconds, and Michael just nodded. And my husband woke me up and said, all right, do what you need to do. And that was, 16 years ago.
Wow.
And no clients. That's the funny thing. I didn't have any clients in the beginning. But I'm not saying this would work for everyone, but I was really compelled at night to, you know, to pray, to meditate, and just find out maybe I wasn't authentic. Maybe what I was doing wasn't working. But this worked out perfectly for me. And I can't wake up. I can't wait to wake up in the morning and get started.
Mm.
I think you had mentioned that there was a second visitation from the Sacred Mother. Can you tell that story?
Sure. When my mom was in her coma, my mother and I were best friends. We did everything together. And I even made a little in-law apartment for them in my home. And so and that's another whole story. How she went into the coma was another story I can bring up later. But while she was in the coma, I kept obviously begging Mother Mary to come back to tell me that my mom was going to be the one miracle that made it. And one day I was in my daughter's bedroom making her bed, and all I could see was the same bright light when I was 7 in the corner, and she just looked at me and she said, I'm going to take your mom now, but I'm going to open up something for you that you've closed for years. I'm taking one gift to give you another. And she did. And that week my mom died. We got to say our goodbyes, and life has never been the same, because now my mother works with me, through me, for me. It was a different connection I could make with my mom, but I didn't know that then.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said that Now, you said that you you had asked Archangel Michael to go to your husband so that
so that I could prove to him that this was spiritual. You know when you got the doubting Thomas who can't believe because he doesn't see?
Yeah.
That's where he was. Raised, wonderful family, religious background, but everything was in the temple or in the church, or if you couldn't see it, it wasn't real. And so Archangel Michael heard me, and he'll tell you the story someday in his own words. He's in shock. He didn't, first he thought it was my son-in-law who works the night shift for the airlines, and then he just said, this is a real deal. This guy's too shiny.
So what was your first experience with angels?
With angels, okay. When one of the other visitations, when Spirit said to me, "You will be sick." I'm in bed one night, and I know I wasn't dreaming. I know I was wide awake. My entire bedroom ceiling opened up, and angels kept coming down, and they were hovering above the bed. And they said, "We're bringing you many gifts this year, but you have to trust us. One of the gifts is going to be a new grandson." And
wow.
I said, "Oh, my goodness, they're not even planning pregnancy. They just got married. No, we're going to send gifts, but he's one of them." And I could describe the ceiling. In fact, if you come to my angel room, you can see it on the website. I had someone replicate the dream. It's on the angel room ceiling. And that was the first visitation of angels for me. Yep. And my grandson was born. She got pregnant, I think, a few weeks later. Yeah, amazing.
So as, you know, after you went through this process of opening your gifts and really starting to use them, what did that look like when you first started to use them, and how did your work progress over the years?
You really want to laugh? You want to know where my first reading? At first I said to my daughter, because she believed in this still, Eric was still finding his way even though he saw the angel. I said to her, wow, this is going to be cool, but I'm not going to give anyone my last name. I don't want them to know who I am. Like, I could keep it a secret and still do readings. My first reading was these two beautiful women who worked at a video store at night, like a Blockbuster. And they said, "We can't get out, but if you can come down here, one of us will work the front room, and you can come in the back and do the reading in the back." And I said, "Sure." And it wasn't far away, so I could walk. And I had my little Mother Mary statue, and I go in, and I start to laugh, and she says, "What's the problem?" I said, "I can't do readings in this room." And she said, "Why?" I said, "There's pornography all over the walls and pornographic little DVDs, and she started to laugh. So she covered it all up. I did my reading. I swear Mother Mary works anywhere you take her. And that's where we started. But that's my first reading, was in the room. I never even knew there was a back room in these places, but that was the first one, and it just, word of mouth just took off from there.
Wow.
So,
that's wonderful.
And because at the beginning you stop this work and you don't have clients. And then for the first year I said, I'm just going to do this for free. I didn't know you got sick if you didn't have an exchange of energy. And that's after the first year I started to charge like $20 a reading. And anywhere, I would go anywhere to teach or to read. It just became my life, became what I was all about. And it doesn't stop even when you think you're done. It's, you take it everywhere, just like a pocketbook. You keep filling stuff in it.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit more about that, because I think a lot of spiritual people kind of sit on that fence of thinking, "Oh, this is a gift and I should do it for free," or "I just started out and I might be certified in X, Y, or Z, but, you know, I think I should do it for free for a while," and stuff. And you said that, you know, if you're not doing an exchange of information, if you're not doing an exchange of energy of some form, then you can actually get sick. So talk more about that.
I didn't believe that. You know how you just believe, you know, it's money and, you know, some people don't have it. So I tested that theory for a year. And I would get, if the person had Parkinson's, I would get that for 24 hours. If someone had fibromyalgia because I was giving my energy, but I was getting nothing back. Even if they baked me a cake or brought me some flowers from their garden, that was the energy exchange. But then you get to the point where you say, I'm giving so much of me. It can't be about the money. It's about I've given them a gift, but they've given me one back. And sometimes these gifts are invaluable. And I see so many gifted healers who aren't charging, and I want to say stop. Or I do say stop. You're worth that. I mean, I don't see a doctor in this world who wouldn't charge you for her services or his services. So we really have to stop that mentality that our energy shouldn't exchange energies, because that's just wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. I think someone had given me an example once, and they basically said, well, you know, let's just say you wanted to charge somebody, you know, $10 to come into a workshop for an hour, you know. You say, oh, you know, I should probably just do the workshop for free or something like that. And someone said to me, you know what? They'll come in, and you could basically say, all right, well, I'll just do what they call a free love donation, and someone will throw down $2 or $5 or something like that. And you're like, oh, you know, you look at it, you don't think much of it. You know, it is an exchange.
Mm-hmm.
But then they'll walk out the door, and they'll go buy, five rounds down at the bar and drop $100 on drinks.
Exactly. It's about your self-worth connecting with their self-worth. Do you see that?
Yeah.
That money tells you, not that money needs to bring you self-worth, but that makes you valuable in some way. Wow. Then I can take that money and I can put it somewhere that it belongs.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an exchange where you're going to say, I accepted your money and maybe I want to take that and do something good with it. It's just a ball that keeps rolling. But you can't have guilt involved. I've learned that. The only thing I do free of charge is if I'm working on a missing persons case. And that's free of charge because you're working with families who may never find the actual child. They may just find remains. And so to me, that's my one way of really giving back. Or, you know, doing a seminar where you give back for free. You just do the whole thing for free because you want to. But on a daily basis, if you did that, you would burn yourself out in a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pam has actually done a lot of teaching of spiritual people and everything. What has your experience been, Pam?
In reference to money you're talking about.
Yeah, and really just teaching people, you know, to start their businesses, or that it's okay for them to have an energy exchange when they're doing spiritual work of some type.
Well, you have to understand, everyone, that this question is probably prompted by the fact that, you know, Mark has come to me for readings, and he used to lecture me that I don't charge enough, that I'm not asking enough, that my work is worth so much more. And so I think I probably struggle with the same thing. I never do things for free. However, I am in a situation where I often decrease the amount of money I'm charging based on the fact that I think the person can't or just doesn't have the money. So I drop my price, and there you are. However, I have gotten, Mark, I have to say that I've gotten a lot better, that I charge a flat rate now, and that everybody pays the same thing. And so, and that's thanks to you, really, because prior to that, I was always interested in how much the person could pay rather than how much I thought the work was worth.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do believe that that's important. As far as classes and things go, obviously those are all a flat fee. Tell me about your classes, Francine. What kind of classes do you offer? You said, Mark mentioned that you were booked 2 years in advance.
Mm-hmm.
So, I imagine they're wonderful.
I love you know, it's one thing to do a reading, but it's like to do a class is to teach that person that they have the same gifts and they can use them.
Mm-hmm.
And so the classes, There's different series you can take. You can take part one where someone comes in and they know they have gifts, but they don't know how to name them or zone in on them, and that's one of the classes. Another class would be how to read the aura, dream interpretation. We deal with healing with stones. I might add a little Reiki. But this last class, I'll give you an example. I had 155 applicants. I could only take 10. I wish I had a fairer way to do that, but the 10 students, and I swear I don't select them, Spirit does, those 10 students were one just intertwined with another, and like one gift would help the other. And so the class was basically about, it was the second part of how to use your intuition, and we did... we would do little mini tarot readings. We would do a lot of healing, a lot of Reiki healing went into that class, a lot of hurting women. And it just, it was amazing. They wanted, I could only do 4 weeks. Normally it's a 6-week class, but I couldn't commit. So they're already signed on for the next segment in the fall. But I don't know if they'll make it, but excuse me, they are signed on. It's basically about opening up your intuition. You know you have these gifts, excuse me, but where, and you said this earlier, like your children have these gifts, it's cultivating which is stronger and where you want to market that gift.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had a girl years ago that came to one of my first classes, and she couldn't sleep at night, and I would say to her, you know, we got to get to the root of your sleep problems, because you're just not falling asleep at night. And she said, it's because my mom used to try to smother me with a pillow when I was 8, and I'm afraid to fall asleep. She took the first 2 classes, and she has opened up her own healing center now because she's able to forgive the mom and know that she, because of all of those things that happened in childhood, they made her a better healer. So I also teach the students, take what's happened and let it work for you and not against you. Take that anger and let it go. And that, it's amazing.
So, you know, since we're talking about, like, what you teach and stuff like that, what do you think is the 3 biggest things that you normally end up teaching somebody? I know you just gave us one of them a second ago.
The biggest one, self-love, Mark.
Yeah.
They come in here and they have very little self-love. And it's happened, it could be in childhood, it could be from a spouse, or they'll sit in the classroom and say, well, he has the gift, she has the gift, I don't. And I say, well, let's prove that. Let's see. And they end up being the highest healers in the class. Not that I praise one higher than the other, but you can just see it. Or they'll say, we have a little ceremony at the end where you graduate. And they'll say, I'll never graduate. And I say, oh, let's see about that. I want to see if you're the same person that walked in that door 6 weeks ago. Normally they aren't. And most of them come for a reading first so they know what I'm about, and then they take the classes. So they've gotten to know a little bit about who I am first.
Let's talk about that for just a second, because that's a source of interest for me. When you do a reading and you sit down and talk to someone, do you first find out what it is that they want out of the reading, or do you begin with what you see around them? How do you start? Or do you talk to their angels? There's so many different ways of doing it. I'm just interested in how you begin. Would you share that with us?
Absolutely. The first thing I do when a person sits down is introduce them to their lead or guardian angel. And you have 7 of them that you walk with, but normally the lead is the one that gives you the most advice or is always with you, or that's that gut instinct. So I introduce them to their lead angel. And it's so funny because they'll always know they walked with this angel. They just couldn't put their finger on it. And then I talk to the angel. My angel talks to their angel, and I find out if I should go towards, maybe they've lost someone and we'll bring them through, or maybe this is an issue when they were younger, or it may be something going on in their life right now, but Spirit guides me the whole hour. And in fact, some people book a 2-hour reading because they don't even get their questions answered the first hour. So it's divinely guided. And each reading, I did three this morning, and they couldn't have been any different if I tried. It's just amazing. But you just, when they sit in your room, it's, I don't know about you, Pam, but that intuition just opens up, and you, it's almost like no one wants to sit next to you at a party because they think you're reading them, but you got to be off duty, too. But, yeah, it's just, it overtakes
me. That was always a good running joke with John Holland, is that, you know, John Holland would call friends and say, well, how are you doing? And people would go, well, what do you know?
Well, I'll be out with my husband, and I'll say to him, oh, that poor girl. And he'll say, what do you see? And I'll tell him, oh, you could, if you could see her boyfriend behind her just giving her advice, but she's not taking it. And once in a while, I will pull them aside. But if someone's working or in a workplace, or it's hard to do that because it's emotional. But if I'll give you an example. I can't drink with this gift. I don't know if you can, Pam, but Spirit won't let me, you know, any liquor. They want me pure at all times. But we're at this overcrowded restaurant, and we had to sit at the bar. And my husband ordered a beer. I got a soft drink. And I see the bartender, and behind her is her boyfriend. And he tells me he died with a hammer to the head. And so he's telling me, please give her a message. And I'm saying telepathically, no, I'm off duty, please. He says, please, it'll change her life. So I pull her aside and I say, did you just lose your boyfriend? And she said, how would you know that? And I said, well, I told her what I did. And I said, I think I may have a prophetic message he wants to give you. Did someone hit him or kill him with a hammer? And she said, yeah, he worked at this restaurant and he was doing something with trying to get the money to the bank, and someone knew his routine and they killed him. And I said, he also wants to talk about the Blue Cross. And she pulled in her pocket and there was the Blue Cross. And she said, I don't know what compelled me to put it in my pocket today. I said, well, he's right behind you and he wants you to take the new job in nursing. And she had just applied. So in that instance, you give the message. But then her manager sees her crying and comes over and yells at me. So, you know, there's a fine line there until he found out what I did. But, yeah, I don't go around like Long Island medium, but I do give messages where they're needed. But, yes, it's soft and gentle if need be.
Let's just take a quick break. We just want to let everybody know you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. And you're on with Mark Rawson and Pam Latour and our guest, Francine. And we are gifted to have her on. And, of course, as I mentioned before, if you want to find out more about this radio show or any other radio shows that we run, you can go to our website, which is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And with that, Francine, can you go ahead and give out your website?
Sure. It's francinesangels.com. All lowercase, no apostrophes.
Okay. And I know I have tons and tons of other questions. We actually have somebody on hold. Do you want to take a call today?
I would love to.
Okay, because we normally don't do calls on the Thursday show, but I see this person hanging on. All right. You're on with Francine. What is your first name?
This is Lynn.
All right. You are on with Francine. Go ahead and ask your question.
Hi. Did you say your first name was... did you say Luann?
Lynn.
Oh, Lynn. Hi, Lynn.
Yeah.
How are you?
Oh, good. How are you?
Good. What can I do for you today?
Yes, I was wondering if...
my daughter, she just graduated from the university. And she got her degree in anthropology. So right now, she's in Peru. She's studying the culture of the people and the animals. And I was wondering, she's going to come back to the U.S., and she says she's thinking of being a veterinarian.
Mm, that's where she belongs.
She
has a father figure all around. Did you lose your dad?
No.
Who's the father figure around her?
Her grandpa.
Ah, this is your dad.
Actually, my husband's dad.
Oh, no, I feel a father figure on your side, honey.
Oh, on my side?
Yeah.
Oh. I have a group, my grandpa.
Do you remember him?
Yes, I do.
Is your daughter got a lot of his ways? Because I'm feeling he is all around her.
Yes, he was very stubborn, and she's very stubborn in the way that if she has a goal, she will achieve it.
That's
yes.
Why. He lives vicariously through her. He's one of her spirit guides. But she's an indigo child, which means she was always difficult to raise because indigos, they don't want the normal. They want different. They want to shake everything up. She wants to shake that snow globe. Yeah.
Yes.
She's gone through anthropology, but that's not her life's work. Her life's work is with animals.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going on? I don't feel love life. She's not letting anyone in?
As a boyfriend? She has a gentleman that she, in college, but she's very, very independent. She doesn't want to get tied down until after her career, which was probably another 10 years of schooling. But she told me that she wants to be responsible. She wants to stand on her feet. And I asked her, I go, are you going to marry your boyfriend? And she goes, no, not right now.
She's pushing love away right now. What happened with her and her dad? That's why, honey. She hasn't forgiven a father figure.
Yes, she's not very...
That's
he's
okay.
Her dad.
Yeah, that's okay because you're the mom and the dad. Do you see that?
Yes.
You've been the
yes.
mom and the dad. But when she can forgive her father, she'll let true love in. And that's why her love of animals, because animals don't judge you. She's so afraid
mm-hmm.
someone's going to judge her. Yeah. And has your mom passed?
No, she's here also.
Who's the mother figure with you then? Did she raise you, though? This is a mother figure who was very instrumental.
Yes.
Yeah, she's calling herself the mom. Like, I don't know if mom couldn't be there all the time, but your grandmother's your mother figure in heaven. She says you pray to her.
Yes, well, I was breastfed by her. My mom, it's so funny, my mom and my grandmother had kids about the same time. So I was actually breastfed from my grandmother. She told me this about 5 years ago, and I
she's
thought
telling
that
me
was...
She's your mother figure, and she's also telling me you're very spiritual, very religious, and you love to cook. Even if there's no one to cook for, you love to cook.
Yes, I do. I love to cook, especially lately I've been wanting to actually cook. Yes, I do. I go on YouTube and I get all these recipes.
You put pure love in your food. And the other thing is, she's telling me, is your right leg bothering you? Something about the top of the leg?
Yes, my hip. Actually, it's my left hip, top of my leg.
No, I feel the right. Are you compensating because the left isn't working?
Yes, my right leg actually. Yes, my right leg. I compensate because my left leg is a little bit shorter than my right leg. So,
can we fix
it? Yes.
Can you? I feel like there's help, but you're just suffering for no reason. It feels like the top of your right thigh. And even when you're on the phone, I can feel your energy. It feels sore. Do you feel that at night? Or when you sit down?
Yes.
All right. So if you got a lift in the shoe, you're going to feel like $1 million. Do you know that?
Yes, I should get that. My doctor, because my back is shifting.
Yeah. And what we're going to do is instead of having you walk around in pain, you're going to feel so much better. You didn't think you'd be fixed up in 5 minutes, did you? Do you have a son as well?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Can we talk about him for a minute? I don't know how much time we have, Mark.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, what's your son's name?
His name is Ron.
Why is he so far away, honey? Not geographically, but he seems like he pushes you away.
Oh, well, I divorced his dad when he was like 1 year old.
Any chance we can have a little reconciliation there?
No.
No? Okay. I feel like he's... He pushes you away, but that's not what he really wants. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, because I'm actually the only one he has.
Yeah, I feel like he needs you right now, but he doesn't know how to reach out to you, or he thinks you won't have open arms if he does.
Yeah, so, he's very, very guarded.
He's been hurt. He's been hurt. He had to choose. Do you see this? He didn't know who to choose. And now I feel like the Father has let him down somewhat, and he's trying to get you back in.
Yeah,
I'm going to leave that up to you.
Like
but
anger.
Okay. Yeah. And who plays bingo? Who's going to bingo all the time? I keep seeing that ball that they spin in the little cage.
We play the lotto.
Okay. No, but this seems more like bingo, like you'd go to a bingo hall.
No, I don't play bingo, but I used to. My kids went to a private school, and they had to help out with bingo.
Ah, that's it. Do you miss it? I just see you in a bingo hall.
Yes, okay. I want to play bingo. It's interesting.
Would you go? I just feel like you're not having any fun, and bingo's your form of fun right now. So, and I feel like that's a time when you were happy, when you were helping out with bingo at school.
Yeah, it looked fun. It looked interesting, but I never really did it.
Okay, maybe you're going to get some luck. I'm not saying you will, but I'm just saying I just feel like you're going to giggle. You're going to laugh. You're always on duty. How do you get off duty, my friend?
Yeah, that's true. I'm always uptight, and especially I've been uptight the last, 6 months. So.
Yeah, that's not good for your system. And laughing at bingo and concentrating on the cards is going to make you laugh. Only a few cards. You only need one or two. All right, any last questions? And do you have a birthday coming up?
Yes, July 2nd.
Happy birthday from your angels. I just saw a white candle.
Thank you.
Will you go out and have some fun?
Yes, I'll probably go out to dinner with my kids.
Yay, good. Happy birthday from me and everybody at this radio station. How's that?
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Lynn. It was my pleasure. God bless. Bye-bye.
All right, you want to take another one?
Sure.
Hi, you're on with Francine.
Hi, how are you? My name's Jane. I'm calling from Colorado today.
Hey, Jane. What's the weather like in Colorado?
It's going to be 98 degrees today, and my power's been out since last night at 7 o'clock.
Oh, no. Can you go someplace?
I think they're supposed to have it back on here in the next few hours. I think I'll be all right for the day, but had to take some precautions and go run out and do things. I get some ice and get the refrigerator cleaned out and put in the, ice chest and stuff. So it's things you don't think about.
Oh, you don't. Would you pray to your lead angel? It's Michael. Ask him to turn.
Yeah.
I don't feel it's any later than 8 o'clock this evening. And also, I feel loneliness around you, Jan. You're not letting the right people in?
I just can't seem to get anybody to come in, and the people that I did have in were kind of... I've severed some ties in the last 6 to 8 months because they were not really good, some of them. And
yeah, you're picking difficult
people. I don't
know. Yeah. What if I told you within the next 3 months you got someone better coming? Would you open your heart up?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is June, July. No later than September. How's that?
Okay.
I just feel like you're picking difficult people.
Mm-hmm.
And are you mad at your dad? I keep getting mad. Forgive the father. Forgive the father.
Huh. He died 14 years ago.
Are you mad because he passed? Are you mad? Do you feel abandonment? Because he's right. He's in your energy field, but I just kept hearing forgive the father because he's the one who brings your new soulmate. Do you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Okay, give him a chance to bring him in. And the other thing is, do you have lower back issues, chronic?
I can't stand a lot. I've been depressed for a long time and been in bed for quite a while, actually.
Yeah. Does the left side bother you more? I'm feeling angel hands there, sciatica.
Yeah, I'd say probably. Mm-hmm.
I need you to do some gentle stretching. What if I told you you're going to get out of bed because you're going to meet someone wonderful? Would you do it?
Yeah, I would.
You need to go to different places, though, to meet these people. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I really don't go anywhere.
Okay, like social functions. Does anyone around you have places where you can go? Just, I don't want you to do it online or at a bar. I want you to meet people. They're, I want to say, a different caliber than what you've been looking for. People who don't need as much work. How's that sound?
Yeah, that's good. I'm actually considering and trying to move from Denver back to Kansas City, where I'm originally from.
There's a delay there. Why?
I don't know. I'm just trying to get things together, and I'm moving a little slower than I should to get my house on the market.
I feel it's a great move, but I feel you're delaying yourself or something's delaying you.
Yeah, it could just be me. Yeah.
I feel like you're digging your heels, and you know that there's a whole new life there, but you keep saying no. Fear of new things, fear of new commitments. Were you married before?
No, I've never been married, but I have a boyfriend.
Okay. Were you close to marriage? I see double rings.
A long, long time ago.
Okay.
I lived with a guy for about 6 years, but it's been like way back in the 80s.
All right. Can you let that guy go? You haven't let him go yet. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, I'll try to do that. It's hard because he was the perfect person. So hard.
When you let him go, you'll find the perfect person. I know you're with your boyfriend, but why do I feel it's not working out for you?
Well, because he lives in another country and we're trying to make that work.
Yeah. What if someone else is coming in to shake this up a little bit? Would you let them?
Oh, I probably would.
I think you would too, and I see that by September. I see the delay of moving, though. I don't know if it's because the house won't sell or you don't want it to sell. And do you have a little puppy or a small dog?
I have a dog who's with me all the time, yep.
Okay, and is there something wrong with the left paw right now, though? The left paw is being blessed.
He occasionally gets a little sort of a boil in between his toes, and he's always licking at it.
Is it on the left side right now, though?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a little infected, so I don't know what you want to do, but if you can check on that.
Okay.
He loves you. He feeds off of you, this dog.
Yeah.
He doesn't go. He won't even leave the room unless you. I'm so sorry. I forgot to shut that off. Do you notice that? He's like a little parade behind you.
Absolutely. We've always been together because I've worked at home all these years. And when I get upset, he gets upset and gets sick.
He is your soul dog. Most people only get one once in a lifetime, and he's yours. And do you do something, like, are you creative with your hands?
Not right now.
You were, though. Why'd you give that up?
Well, the only thing I did with my hands was I was a mortgage processor, so I worked on the paperwork. But
now that's not creative. That's not what I mean. Did you do photography? Something creative?
I've wanted to do photography. Yeah.
Why aren't you? That's where your creativity is. That's where your gifts are. Not that mortgaging isn't. It's just that there's a side of you that needs to come out, and it's through your photography. Would you call it that?
Yeah, I shut down my mortgage business at the end of last year, and I'm absolutely letting go of that. I don't want to go near that again.
Good. What do you want to do now?
Well, something creative, and that's the guy that I am with is creative, and we were going to try to put a business together.
Excellent. I'd love to see you start. Just even if you took pictures of what you want your new business to be. And have you lost your grandmother and your mother's side?
Yeah, and my mother's gone too.
I got grandma first. Can I call her through? And her name wasn't June, was it?
No.
Why do you have blessings from someone named June on your mother's side?
I have a sister who's passed. Her middle name was Joan, but I don't know about.
Okay. I keep hearing that. Are you mad at that sister? Are you upset with the way she died?
I'm not upset with it. I just wish she would have let us know she had such a problem with alcohol. It was an alcohol problem.
It wasn't just alcohol. I feel like she, how do I put this? She beat herself up all the time. Self-abuse.
Yeah,
she's asking for your forgiveness.
Oh, I will absolutely forgive her.
Yeah, she doesn't want you to do the same thing. Does that make sense to you?
It does.
Would you make her a promise?
Yeah, I'll promise her that.
Yay! She says you need to turn your life around. Her life was just a lesson, and she's learned her lesson, and she's really happy where she is, but your life isn't where she wants it yet. But it's getting there. How do you feel about that? She comes in your dreams quite often. Do you see her? Yeah. She says, I come and I poke in her dreams. I don't always speak, but I poke in. Allow her to heal you. I don't know if it's Joan or June, but I can hear that name. Did you tease her and call her by her middle name?
No.
And what happened to your mom's tummy? What happened to her stomach?
When she passed away, she was bleeding internally, and they thought it was coming from her intestines area.
Yeah. Something in the tummy. I'm sorry. Something in the tummy wasn't right, and she said she had pain in her tummy, but not anymore. She made it to heaven. And she says, suck up, kiddo. I owe you big time. Does she talk rough?
Does she what?
Talk rough, like just tell you the way it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She didn't sugarcoat anything, your mom.
No, she did not.
If she had to tell you something, she told you. She's one of your biggest advocates in heaven. Please pray to her. She wants this depression to leave you. Do you see this? Well, what's in March for you?
What's in March?
Yeah, what did we just miss in March for you?
I can't think of anything. I was actually at her house trying to get the estate finished up from
Did you feel her all around you in March?
Oh, yeah, she was playing with the lights and doing things, yeah.
She says, I thought it might have been your birthday, but she's saying ask her about the month of March. Yep, she was there, and she made it to heaven. She's a new soul, but she made it to heaven. And who's Chuck or Charles?
Charles, I had an uncle named Charles who
was... You got
was
blessings from him.
Oh, that's nice, yeah.
Do you remember him?
I do. They lived right around the corner from us.
Was there a joke about him making his own beer?
I don't know about that.
he didn't grow hops or anything. He's laughing.
No.
Tell her I'm making my own beer up here. So I don't know what that means. Oh, bear. Did he shoot with guns?
No. He was a surgeon and very well known in Topeka, Kansas, where we're from.
Okay. What's the beer? I can't get my finger around that one, but
I had another uncle named Charles but I don't know about the beer thing either. We didn't. My dad's, yeah, that side of the family wasn't really drinkers.
Okay, I don't know what he said. Making the beer, so it can't be shotgun beer. It's got to be something to do with the liquid beer. Did he always want to own his own restaurant, or?
I don't think so. I might be totally thinking the wrong person.
That's okay. You may think of it when you hang up, but Charles is blessing you, and he's showing me, like, the process of making beer. And the other thing is, who's Thomas?
I have a cousin's husband who's Tom, but he hasn't passed, and I have another.
No, this is someone very much alive.
Okay, and then I have a Tom who was my sister who's passed ex-husband.
That's him. Are you mad at him?
I was mad at him the last time I saw him because of the way he was treating her.
She
got divorced, yeah.
All right, I keep hearing the name Thomas, but I keep hearing that you need to lose anger. Are there two children involved?
Yeah, they did. They had one child and then one adopted, you know.
Yeah,
she
two
had
children involved. She's watching over two children, but she doesn't want you to be mad at Thomas. Is that okay?
Okay, yeah.
And do you have any questions for me or your angels?
Let's go ahead then.
And then we'll wrap it up. How's that? One last question.
Just how my finances going to come out.
Okay, let's do finances. Okay. When you sell your home, do you know the sale of your home will bring in more proceeds than you thought?
That's very possible, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The market.
Okay, great market. I don't know what your house looks like, but it brings in more proceeds, and that carries you over until you're finding a new business. So congratulations. Will you keep in touch with me?
Yeah, I'd like to have a longer reading, so I'll definitely look you up.
Good.
For sure.
Absolutely. I'd love to read for a whole hour for you. All right. God bless you.
Thank you.
Nice speaking with you. Bye,
yeah.
Dan.
That was great. So as we wrap up at the very end of the show here, just give out your website again.
It's www.francinesangels.com, all lowercase, no apostrophes. Thanks to Mark.
Okay.
Set up my website. Thank you, Mark. I had no idea what a website was before I met you.
Thank you.
You've been my spiritual guru.
Can you tell everybody about some of the services that you offer?
Okay, I do life coaching as well, and life coaching is if your life gets stuck in a pattern, you don't know how to break the pattern, it's called intuitive life coaching, and most people that have had this say it's life-changing once they see what the pattern is and they're able to break it. I'm especially working with a lot of children with life coaching right now, or a lot of eating disorders. I also do readings, healings, chakra cleansings, doing the teaching, just a little potpourri. Go to my website and you can see it all. And any questions,
right.
They can please feel free to call me.
Sounds
this
good. Dan, do you have any
pleasure.
Last question?
Sure.
I'm sorry, were you talking to me, Mark?
Yeah, any last questions before we end the show?
I don't think so. I love the readings. I loved all the information you've given us. And, Francine, I'd like to just say thank you so much. You were a lovely guest, and it was a beautiful show.
Thank you, both of you. Thank you, Mark.
You're
and,
so
Francine, as a closing word to the audience, what do you think is the key idea that people should keep in their minds for a happier life?
I feel that never lose who you came here to be. You were sent as a divine being to come down here. Never lose sight of that. You may get off the path, but don't lose sight.
Thank you.
Lovely.
It's always great having you on. And
good.
Thank you, guys.
All right. God bless you both.
For everybody, if you've been listening, this is Spiritual Connections Radio. This show is available, as all our shows are available, as replays. So you can go back and download them to your iTunes and podcasts and everything else. So with that, I want to say thank you, and thank you, Pam, for being on, and have a great night, everybody.
Thank you all so much. Good night.